Welcome back to another night on Ghost Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Tonight, we will take a deep look into the NBA Finals matchup and what things are looking like for both teams. Additionally, we will take a look at the NFL and the coronavirus outbreak in the league. So without further ado, let's get started. First, with the NBA playoffs. The NBA Finals are finally here. The bubble is one of the most innovative things we have ever seen in sports. We saw several players ascend to stardom. We saw teams implode under pressure. We saw unheralded players make a name for themselves with breakout scoring performances. Most importantly, we saw zero positive coronavirus tests in the bubble. Well done, NBA. As the NBA Finals begin, let us look at 11 things to watch in the slugfest between the Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers. First, LeBron versus everybody. There are so many matchups in this series to pay attention to when talking about LeBron James. First, you have LeBron James versus Pat Riley. Then, you have LeBron James versus Eric Spoelstra. And then, you have LeBron James versus Jimmy Butler, Andre Iguodala, and Jay Crowder. LeBron James has downplayed the individual matchups, but deep down, you know he is relishing this opportunity to defeat his former team. LeBron James and Pat Riley clashed several times during his time with the Heat, and he has had an extensive playoff history against Butler, Iggy, and Crowder. Many believe the Heat have the upper hand because they are familiar with his tendencies, but he's familiar with them as well. Like most series this postseason, LeBron James has eased his way into dominance. It will be interesting to see if he's aggressive from the start. If so, the Heat will be headed 95 South back home to Miami, and LeBron James will have his fourth NBA Finals ring. Next, we have, can Anthony Davis claim his glory? Anthony Davis is one of the most polarizing figures in the NBA. For some, he can never do enough. If he scores 30-plus points, people will point out that he did not have enough rebounds. If he is hot from the outside, many will say he did not impose his will in the paint. In this series, Anthony Davis can silence all detractors and claim his glory. If Anthony Davis is on top of his game, he will likely win his first championship and possibly finals MVP. Third thing we have is the end of Tyler Hero ball. Tyler Hero has made a name for himself during the 2020 NBA playoffs. His confidence, shot-making ability, and unflappable personality when the stakes get high are why he is on the cusp of stardom. While all those things ring true, the NBA Finals is a large stage, and for a rookie, the lights might be too bright. The former Kentucky Wildcat averaged nearly 20 points per game during the Eastern Conference Finals, and he would need to surpass that for the Heat to have a shot in winning their fourth Larry O'Brien trophy. In recent interviews, Tyler Hero is playing the underdog role and talking a bit more than usual, which is bad timing. Although it is not directed towards the Lakers, any linking of bulletin board material is unnecessary at this point. The Lakers have fared well against better guards this postseason, and Tyler Hero does not scare them. It will be interesting to see which Tyler Hero shows up. I'm sure he will have a few moments, but it will not be anything like we saw in the earlier rounds. Next, we have Jimmy Butler's scoring. Jimmy Butler is the ultimate teammate, and he does everything on the floor to make his teammates better. In the Eastern Conference Finals against the Boston Celtics, he failed to shoot the ball over 15 times in any game. That necessarily is not a bad thing, but against the Lakers, the Heat will need him to be more aggressive offensively. When looking at the history of Butler playing against LeBron in the postseason, his offensive numbers fall due to him exerting so much energy when guarding him. In the 2015 playoffs, when Butler's Bulls faced off against James Cavs, Butler scored over 20 points just one time, and he only shot 50% from the field once in 6 games. That cannot be the case in this series, but will Butler have enough in the tank to be elite on both ends? Next, we have Finals Danny Green. It has been a roller coaster ride for Danny Green this postseason, but he has a chance for redemption. This postseason, he has shot poorly from beyond the arc, but this series could be his upcoming out party. In his defense, he spent the first 3 rounds guarding stars such as Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Jamal Murray, so it was not a surprise that his offensive output took a huge hit. In this series, Danny Green will not have to guard anyone of that caliber, and he will be expected to shoot the lights out of Miami's zone defense that they have unveiled throughout the playoffs. Danny Green has played a lot of postseason games, and he usually has a game where he goes unconscious from the three. That is yet to happen, but he will have every opportunity to go back in time and showcase one of his vintage NBA Finals performances. Next, we have resurging Rondo. Rajon Rondo turned back the clock this postseason, and he is playing like he found the Nike Blazers that Calvin Cambridge found in the movie Like Mike. As seen in earlier rounds, Rajon Rondo will have a huge role as a primary ball handler and perimeter defender. Having Rondo on the court negates Miami's zone because of his ability to penetrate and find the open holes in the defense. Although he is not a knockdown shooter, he is shooting a blistering 60% in the postseason on his limited three-point attempts. Miami does not have an answer for him, and as long as he's hitting his shots and making the right plays, the Lakers should have no problems with defeating the Heat. Next, we have Miami shooting. The Heat can light it up from the three. They made 14.1 threes per game and shot 38% from the deep in the first 2 rounds of the playoffs. If Miami has hopes of upsetting the Lakers, their shooters must come up big. Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero are the Heat's best shooters, but Goran Dragic, Jimmy Butler, Derek Jones Jr., Andre Iguodala, and Jay Crowder can occasionally get hot. The Lakers have had their share of woes when defending the three-pointer, so they will have to rotate and close out well, or Miami will make them pay. Next, we have Kelly Olynyk as the enforcer. Kelly Olynyk has been a non-factor for most of the playoffs, but he will play the enforcer role for the Heat. I'm not saying he's going to play like a member of NWO, but he has been dubbed as a dirty player by some. So it will be interesting to see how he is used to agitate the Laker players. Next, we have Kyle Kuzma playing off the ball. Kyle Kuzma was expected to be the Lakers' third star, but that has not transpired. Kuzma has had his moments when he skinned in that role, but other times he has been a headache much more than anything. Nonetheless, Kuzma has been solid, but not spectacular. With Miami playing zone mixed with no man-to-man concept, with man-to-man concepts, movement is going to be key. In the Houston and Denver series, Kuzma was actively moving without the ball, getting easy dunks and layups. When Kuzma tries to create for himself, it plays into the hands of the defense, but he has been at his best off the ball. Having someone with Kuz's skill set and willingness to put pressure on the defense by moving without the ball will be key to negate Miami's defense. Next, we have Point Bam. The Heat do not have a true point guard outside of Goran Dragic. Therefore, they initiate their offense through Bam Adebayo. Bam is an elite facilitator at his position, and he's also a threat to score as well. The Heat play their best when they are knocking down shots from deep. With that, it gives Bam the spacing to do damage as a scorer and as a passer. The Lakers played well against Denver's Nikola Jokic, who has a similar skill set, but they had moments when they struggled. If Bam plays as he did against the Boston Celtics, the Lakers will have their hands full. And lastly, we have Eric Spoelstra versus Frank Vogel. Both head coaches have similar upbringings in the profession, and this will be their fourth playoff series against each other, and Spoelstra's 3-0. This time around, Vogel has LeBron on his side, but that does not mean that it will be a walk in the park. Both Vogel and Spoelstra are innovative coaches on the defensive side of the ball. Spoelstra's offenses are much more productive, but Vogel has James and Davis. Spoelstra is the better coach, but Vogel is not a slouch. Let's take a quick break, where we'll be back for another segment on what's going on in the NBA. Tune in for more on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. And we're back on another segment of Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Here's what the stars of the Los Angeles Lakers and the Miami Heat have to say about what it feels like to play in the bubble, and the upcoming series, and what the upcoming series are looking like from their side. Here's what LeBron James has to say on playing in the bubble this season. LeBron James has been through just about every experience an NBA player can possibly have, but he says that playing in the bubble has been the hardest thing he's faced in his 17-year career. It's probably been the most challenging thing I've ever done as far as a professional, as far as committing to something and actually making it work, LeBron told reporters. LeBron is hardly the only player to speak out about the challenge of playing in the bubble for several months as players were forced to be away from their families and try to finish a basketball season during a global pandemic and nationwide protests against racial injustice. NBA Players Association President Chris Paul spoke about how the bubble had weighed on guys heavily. The intensity of the game is real. We were away from our families and all this stuff is going on and it weighed on guys heavily. If you saw Jamal Murray when he had that unbelievable game in the playoffs, he was in tears. Because we are all human beings, right? Yes, we're talented. Yes, we like to play the game that we love. But as soon as these games are over, we go back to being regular people with our families, with wives, with kids, whatever it may be. Despite the struggle, LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers have been incredibly impressive during their time in Orlando. They have comfortably beaten the Portland Trail Blazers, Houston Rockets, and Denver Nuggets in 5 games and are now just 4 wins away from a championship. But even with LeBron and company making it look so easy, his words are a reminder of just how grueling the bubble has been for everyone involved. Meanwhile, Miami Heat's Jimmy Butler said that his team would have to get through LeBron James to win the title at the end of the day. Winning an NBA title isn't easy, especially when you have to go through LeBron James, who has made it to 10 championship series. Miami Heat star Jimmy Butler is well aware of the fact that James stands in his way of the ultimate goal, but also acknowledged that the 3-time Finals MVP has a great supporting cast. It's been like this for a long time. If you want to win, you're going to have to go through a LeBron James-led team, the Miami Heat forward said after advancing to his first career NBA Finals Sunday, courtesy of the Washington Post's Ben Golliver. At the end of the day, that's what it normally comes down to, and that's what we got to focus in on. Obviously, we can't just focus in on him because he's got so many really good players around him. But you're going to get the same test over and over again until you pass it. And that test is LeBron James. James is 3-6 all-time in the championship round, winning in 2012 and 2013 with the Heat, and 2016 with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Despite that, though, James has reached a historic mark. The 35-year-old's 10th finals appearance is more than all but 3 NBA franchises. And he's the only player in the league to average more than 25 points per game in the postseason on 3 separate finals teams. After James and the Lakers missed the playoffs last season, The team now becomes just the fourth team in NBA history since 1984 to reach the finals 1 year after missing the postseason entirely. Miami, on the other hand, is making their first NBA playoffs finals appearance since 2014 after defeating the Boston Celtics in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals on Sunday. The Heat are the first fifth seed to reach the penultimate round. The 2020 calendar year will go down as one of the most devastating in the history of the Los Angeles Lakers. It started with the tragic death of the legendary Kobe Bryant in a helicopter accident back on January 26th. As Los Angeles and the greater sports world was reeling from this tragic accident, the 2019 through 20 NBA season would ultimately be suspended less than 2 months later due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Through it all, LeBron James and his Los Angeles Lakers kept their eye on the prize. And once the season resumed at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Los Angeles was seen as one of the top favorites to win the NBA title. Despite some major drama surrounding teams boycotting games and other issues in Florida, the Lakers stayed focused. It culminated in a 117-107 win over the Denver Nuggets in Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals Saturday evening to send the Lakers to their first NBA Finals in a decade. LeBron James dropped 38 points, grabbed 16 rebounds, and dished out 10 assists in a virtuoso performance. There's something magical about this. 10 years ago, Kobe Bryant led his Lakers to their last championship by defeating the Boston Celtics in the 2010 NBA Finals. Depending on how their series concludes against the Miami Heat back east, there's a chance that the Celtics and Lakers could do battle once again. Obviously, the sports world has had its reactions to the Los Angeles Lakers coming away with the Western Conference title. Let's take another quick break before we come back for news on what Game 1 of the NBA Finals looked like on Wednesday night. Tune in for more on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. And we're back on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Let's take a look on what happened during Game 1 of the NBA Finals between the Los Angeles Lakers and Miami Heat on Wednesday night. The Los Angeles Lakers and Miami Heat get us going with Game 1 of the 2020 NBA Finals on Wednesday night, the NBA bubble, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC. LeBron James and Anthony Davis will be looking to capture the Lakers' 17th championship of all time. Jimmy Butler will be looking to solidify his legacy by bringing another title to Miami. Here's our DK Nation live blog, where we'll be following all the action during Game 1, including stats, betting analysis, and highlights. Stay tuned. The Los Angeles Lakers-Miami Heat Game 1 Final of 116-98. The Lakers were down 13 points, and it feels like a billion years ago. Los Angeles would go on to put in a dominating performance in Game 1, winning easily after shaking off a slow start. Anthony Davis finished with 34 points, 9 boards, and 5 assists in the win. He'll likely be the favorite for Finals MVP after this one. LeBron came close to a triple-double with 25 points, 13 rebounds, and 9 assists. The Lakers ended up shooting just around 40% from downtown, which is crazy after they started so poorly. The big issue for the Heat is dealing with injuries to Goran Dragic and Adebayo. We'll have to monitor their statuses moving forward, but if one or both are sidelined for Game 2 on Friday, this series might not go the distance. Jimmy Butler also turned his ankle a few times, but stayed in the game through the fourth quarter. All three won't be 100% no matter what, and it didn't really look like the Heat were going to win Game 1 with all three healthy. So, quick betting recap. The Lakers covered the 4.5-point spread easily and won on the ML at -195 in the majority of the handle and betting percentages. Their under actually held on to hit at 214 total, with the line set at 217.5. The blowout and injuries likely had a big thing to do with a 214 total, with the line set at 217.5. So it'll be interesting to see how the lines look for game two. Update at 11 minutes and 33 seconds of the first quarter. The Lakers pulled their starters up by 17 with under 1 minute and 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and this one is all but over. Anthony Davis should finish as the top scorer with 34 points, and LeBron James will finish one assist shy of a triple-double, which could tilt some bettors if they had that action. Injury update. The Heat just announced that Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo won't return. Dragic has a foot injury, and Bam is dealing with a shoulder strain. We know that Goran Dragic needs an x-ray, and it's unclear if Adebayo will be ready for game two. If the Heat are missing both players, this series could be over fast. Miami will need Kendrick Nunn, Tyler Hero, and Kelly Olynyk to step up big time to keep the Heat in the series. Update. The Heat went on a run, and the Lakers' lead was down to 23 points. We also had word from Chris Hames of Yahoo Sports that Goran Dragic is receiving an x-ray on his left foot, which probably isn't a good sign. Kendrick Nunn, Kelly Olynyk, and Andre Iguodala are getting a lot of run with all the injuries. Injury update. Bam Adebayo is now injured, dealing with a shoulder injury that forced him to go into the locker room. So now, Goran Dragic and Adebayo are out for the Heat at the moment, and Jimmy Butler is dealing with an ankle injury. The Lakers are still up by 20+, and it was unclear if Bam will be able to return. Things couldn't be getting worse for Miami right now. Update. Dragic appeared to land awkwardly on his foot in the first half, and that's likely the cause for the injury. He's had foot issues in the past, so it may not be good. I can't see why it would be a precaution. The Heat are basically down 1-0 in the series already, and we haven't even played the fourth quarter. The Lakers have built up a 30-point-plus lead right now. It's getting pretty ugly. Dragic is doubtful to return to Game 1 versus the Lakers due to that foot injury. That's why Tyler Hero started the second half, and that's also part of the reason why the Heat were down 22. Things aren't looking great for Miami. Here are some more details on Dragic and what to expect the rest of the way. So this is a bit surprising, but Tyler Hero started the second half for Goran Dragic. We don't know if Dragic is still hurt or if the Heat just want to lose by more points. Hero was -30 in the first half. It's probably because the Heat need to shoot their way out of a hole and can play small ball a little bit. So the Heat are getting 14.5 points at halftime, down 17. So if you think there's some type of run coming from Miami, go nuts. But don't do that. The OU only went up 1 point from their original number after 113 points were scored in the first half. This is probably because the Lakers could go up by 20 to 30 points and sort of take the foot off the gas. Still, there's some value there. Miami will have to chuck to get out of the massive hole. Second quarter recap. So yeah, there's nothing more like what we expected to see. The Lakers were up by double digits, 65-48 at halftime, and are absolutely dominating the Heat right now. It's not even close. Miami can't even compete on defense and are just bricking shot after shot after shot. The Heat ended up shooting 43% in the half after starting 75% from the floor. Let's give credit to the Lakers' intensity on defense. As if things couldn't get any worse, Jimmy Butler got hurt at the end of the half but stayed in the game. We'll see if he's able to come out for the second half. Let's take a look at some splits. Jay Crowder had the first field goal, and that was a plus 1,200 with 10% of the handle and 8% of the bets in that market on DraftKings Sportsbook. Anthony Davis is leading all scorers with 18 points and at a plus 110, had 11% of the handle and 8% of the bets to lead the game in scoring. It looks like the Lakers spread and ML bettors are going to leave tonight richer as well. Plus, the over 217.5 is on pace to get smashed after 113 points were scored in the first half. We've got a challenge, which gives us a chance to take in the second quarter. The Lakers are out to a 10-point lead at 57-47, and it's looking like this one may not be all that close tonight. It's not even halftime, I know, but it feels like that early run for Miami was the best we'll see. I don't think the Heat can stop the Lakers, to be quite honest with you. Frank Vogel is burning his challenge early on trying to get Jimmy Butler teed up for some elbow on a layup attempt. Butler sort of threw an elbow on a drive, and it's hard to tell when you speed it up in real time. And it was a no-call on Danny Green, and the Lakers had the ball. The Lakers have built up their biggest lead of the night, 49-43, over the Heat in the second quarter. LA is shooting an icy hot 60% from downtown, and AD has 14 points to lead all scorers. It's not that Miami has gone cold or anything. The Heat just regressed back to the norm and aren't playing good defense. Tyler Hero doesn't have the yips anymore. He looked a little off on his first couple shots and then got one to fall. Hero's up to 8 points, 3 boards, and 2 assists early on and is getting comfortable. Miami's back in the game with a 43-41 lead at the break. Jimmy's also cooking with 12 points. I'll admit I wasn't crazy about Hero's over 15.5 points, which I'm regretting currently. I was, however, on the 0-2-5 3-pointers made prop, which is one tray away from hitting. It's about balance. For the first quarter, the Heat were up 23-10, and the Lakers finished on a 21-5 run to take a 3-point lead after the first quarter. The story has been KCP, who has 10 points early on. Anthony Davis has 11 points to lead all scorers. The Lakers went on a big run to help anyone who bet the first quarter spread of negative 1.5. Butler and Crowder each have 9 points for the Heat. Again, shout out to anyone who got the Lakers at a plus 3.5 after the 13-point deficit. The Lakers went on a mini run thanks to a few 3-pointers from KCP, and the score is 25-18. So if you're able to get the Lakers at that plus 3.5 number, good on you. Imagine betting on the Lakers -5 or -4.5 and then magically getting them a plus 3.5 after 8 minutes in a game 1. That must feel good. So the Heat were up by 13 points. It was 23-10. And should we be worried about the Lakers? Is it too early to be worried about the Lakers? Heat in 4. Jimmy Butler can't miss. Miami is shooting 75% from the floor, but it's pretty early. The live line, as of now, is Lakers plus 2.5. No way the Lakers just take this L before the first quarter was over. Bam Adebayo was off to a quick start with 6 points and 3 rebounds, with the Heat up 16-10 at the first commercial break. The first quarter spread with Lakers negative 1.5, so the Heat with the points there is holding up so far. Miami had done a good job defensively, and Lakers look out of sync, which is something we've seen before in a Game 1 type scenario. The Heat opened at plus 5 and were plus 4.5 before tip-off. Jimmy Butler drained a 3-pointer on the Heat's third possession and hit his over of 0.5 3-pointers for tonight. AD with a few early field goals as well. So I've backed the Lakers to win this series in 6 games. I'm also a coward, and I just don't want to really take the Heat to win at it all, knowing the Lakers could obliterate and with that sentiment. So I'm going to take the Heat and the points in Game 1 tonight. This definitely won't backfire, and the Lakers definitely won't win by double digits. Dwight Howard is reportedly going to stay in the starting lineup for the Los Angeles Lakers in Game 1 versus the Heat. Howard played well in the final two games of the conference finals. Howard will be a trendy value play yet again. Let's take one last break before we come back for news on the NFL and the league's coronavirus update. Tune in for more on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. And we're back with the last segment of the night on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. There's a COVID-19 outbreak in the NFL, so let's take a look on what's going on with that. The NFL has its first coronavirus update. Here's how it plans to respond. Even though most games have been played without fans in the stands, the NFL had navigated the novel coronavirus pandemic with relative smoothness through 3 weeks of the regular season. That changed on Tuesday when news broke out that 8 members of the Tennessee Titans, 3 players, and 5 staff members had tested positive for the coronavirus in the aftermath of their game Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. One more Titans player learned he had tested positive on Wednesday. The development injected uncertainty into the schedule for the first time since the summer, when the pandemic forced the cancellation of preseason games and required teams to significantly alter how they went about their daily operations. The NFL announced Wednesday that the Titans game against the Pittsburgh Steelers will be rescheduled for Monday or Tuesday. Here's what else we know about the situation. How often are NFL players tested? NFL players are tested daily during the regular season, except on game days, with the final testing before games done the morning before. Any coach, player, or staff member who has an inconclusive result from the test taken the day before the game can be cleared to play with a negative test result on game day, provided that the result is available at least 2 hours before kickoff. What happens if a player tests positive? If a player tests positive, what happens next depends on whether he is showing symptoms of COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus, or is asymptomatic. If a player tests positive and is showing symptoms, the player cannot return until at least 10 days have passed since the symptoms first appeared and until at least 72 hours have passed since the symptoms last occurred. The player's return must be approved by the team physician after consultation with the NFL's chief medical officer and must adhere to local regulations. If a player tests positive and is not showing symptoms, the player cannot return until 10 days have passed since the initial positive test, or 5 days have passed since the initial positive test and the player's test negative in consecutive PCR tests separated by 24 hours. The player's return must be approved by the team physician after consultation with the NFL's chief medical officer. What is the COVID-19 reserve list? Players who test positive or have been quarantined after being in close contact with an infected person or persons are placed on the COVID-19 reserve list, a new category of injured reserve created this season. On Tuesday afternoon, Tennessee placed defensive lineman DaQuan Jones, long snapper Bo Brinkley, and tight end Tommy Houston on its COVID-19 reserve list. On Wednesday, the team added linebacker Kamale Correa. Under terms of an agreement between the league and the players' union, teams may not disclose why the players were placed on the list. In other words, whether they tested positive or have been quarantined because of potential exposure to the coronavirus. The players may return to the team when healthy or out of quarantine. What happened with the Titans and Vikings? The Titans, who defeated the Vikings on Sunday in Minneapolis, shut down in-person activities Tuesday after 3 players and 5 team staff members tested positive for the coronavirus, the NFL and the Players Union announced. One more Tennessee player learned Wednesday morning that he had tested positive, according to an NFL spokesman who said Wednesday that all other Titans tests came back negative. On Wednesday, Titans coach Mike Vrabel told reporters that some of the people who tested positive are experiencing flu-like symptoms, but added that it is nothing out of the ordinary. We anticipate they will feel better shortly. Vrabel had said Monday that they have not seen any positive tests as of Tuesday morning, though they have suspended in-person club activities through at least Wednesday. Vrabel had said also on Monday that outside linebackers coach Shane Brown was placed in the team's COVID-19 protocol after test results came back on Saturday morning. Bowen, who calls the Titans defensive plays, did not travel with the team to Minnesota. The NFL spokesman said all the Vikings test results that came back Wednesday morning were negative as well. Per NFL's network's Mike Gargfalo, Vikings general manager Rick Spielman said Wednesday he was optimistic that the team would return to in-person training on Thursday with more significant protocols. What does that mean for Week 4? The Titans were scheduled to host the Steelers on Sunday, but the NFL announced Wednesday that the game will be rescheduled for Monday or Tuesday to allow additional time for further daily COVID-19 testing and to ensure the health and safety of players, coaches, and game day personnel. Playing on a Tuesday is rare, but it has happened in the past. In 2010, the league postponed a Vikings-Eagles game to a Tuesday because of a snowstorm in Philadelphia that eventually never materialized. Additionally, this year, one of the San Francisco 49ers games might have had to been postponed because of rain and fire-like symptoms in the air. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin told reporters after practice Wednesday that there is a strong possibility the game will be played Monday. Pittsburgh now is conducting its weekly schedule as if it will be playing on Monday, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Should the Titans-Steelers game become unplayable in Week 4, the NFL schedule does offer some room for maneuvering. The league could make Week 4 the bye week for both teams and reschedule the Tennessee-Pittsburgh game for Week 7, when Tennessee originally was supposed to have a bye and the Steelers were to face the Baltimore Ravens. Week 7 would then become the Ravens' bye week. Baltimore could then face Pittsburgh in Week 8, which is the Steelers' scheduled bye week. The Vikings are still scheduled to visit the Houston Texans on Sunday. Well, that's all for tonight's show of Go Sports Crazy. Hopefully the NBA Finals will come back for Game 2 on Friday night, and the NFL will get their things together with COVID-19, and hopefully no one tests positive anymore in that regard. But I hope you enjoyed the show, and I'm excited to come back next week to talk to you about all things sports again. Come back for more next on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Thank you.